This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday the 21st of August, and we're midway through the week. How are you guys holding up?
Alive.
Great, fantastic. Yeah.
Alive is not a very high bar to set, Shani.
Surviving. My bars aren't very high to begin with.
It's okay. It's like small achievable milestones, right?
Yes.
So what are you planning to do for the rest of the week?
I guess just trying to institute all these factors for survival.
Like?
Really?
Okay, we know you're like, Mr. Doom and Gloom, Julian.
No, I'm not.
Are you expecting the apocalypse to happen within the next week?
Yes, over the weekend, I think.
I see.
Yeah, okay. I read news that Jakarta is sinking. Like almost two-thirds of, or one-third of the city has just been submerged underwater. And apparently they're moving the capital to Kalimantan.
Yeah, it's a perennial problem for mm-hmm. them every year. Because apparently everybody uses the groundwater as their source of water. So over time, right, the city kind of just submerges, sinks inches and inches.
There you go. Yep. See, and you are a denier. You're a climate,
the world is ending.
Climate denier.
We're not climate deniers. Actually,
we're not.
And this is a fairly common problem in urban cities. Manila is also facing the same problem, and
really?
Obviously Venice. Yeah. So
Venice, yes.
Because it's a very high concentration of people, and you've got lots of infrastructure all piled onto a relatively small area. And
also, the polar ice caps are melting.
Yes, that too.
Island, in record amounts.
Isn't it Iceland who had a memorial service for an iceberg over the weekend?
Yes, that was that.
So you're right, Julian. The world
we
is ending.
To,
the world is ending.
We need to grow our own food and things like that.
Mm. Okay, but I think I can make it to this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. But in the meantime, we are going to be talking about lots of interesting things this morning. What are we going to be discussing?
Well, do you like the new car smell when you get that, you know, when you just go and collect your car for the first time?
Yeah. How do you actually describe it? It's just the new car smell,
yeah,
right? Everyone knows what that means.
Yeah. But okay. You know, that new car smell might not be around. I mean, it, you might have to say goodbye to it because in Indonesia, used cars are the way to go.
Mm.
Well, okay, they're banning it, are they?
No, they're not banning it. It's just that, you know, used cars are popular.
Okay.
And hence, no new car smell for you.
Right.
Which to me is one of the pluses of buying a new car.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing that we're talking about, IR 4.0, do you know what it is? Because apparently almost two-thirds of students surveyed didn't know what it was. I must admit that I kind of had to scratch my head a little when I asked myself the question, like, what exactly is IR 4.0? Right?
Yeah, because we bandy around the term so much. But when you actually say, what is the definition? I actually did have to Google it, I admit. And now, if you want to weigh in on these conversations, don't forget you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be talking about motivations, specifically what motivates you to do your jobs. Be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Flashlight by Parliament, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Julian and Xiaoning. Now, sometimes you hit that point in your working life where you need a change, right? And this person who's written into a column on The Cut, they need a change because they've got great colleagues, a supportive boss, but they've been doing the same job for 6 years and they say they're bored and have no motivation to continue. But the dilemma is, how does this person maintain essentially their current job? How do they keep doing it while job searching? Because job searching can itself take a long time. And I'm just curious as to whether either of you have experienced this kind of drop-off in motivation during a job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we confess online?
Oh, yeah.
On air,
I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be a confessional moment for the both of us.
I mean, you both did have quite an industry switch.
Yes, we did. We did. I think for me, to an extent, the decision was sort of given to me on a silver platter during the global financial crisis because I was laid off from my banking job. And I went, aha, okay, this is interesting. let's see what I can do, right?
I like your aha. You didn't seem to panic. You just kind of like, aha, okay.
Yeah, so I went traveling for a bit and I think that it's important to think about such things because I was really not fulfilled for a very long time, right? I really dread dragging myself out of bed and going into work. So that's why it led to that. But it's different in today's world, you know. If you're thinking of quitting and doing something else, what do you do, right? Because jobs are scarce these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us who work for a long time, like let's say more than 20 years, right? We always have this question mark at the back of our heads, whether we should be doing something else, whether something else will make us happier. But for some of us with commitments, it's hard to make that change. It's hard to decide, okay, I'm going to be brave about it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try something new. Because with anything like this, there will be some risks, isn't it? Especially if you've got a comfortable
huge
job.
Risks.
Yeah. You're well paid, you have experience. To then suddenly switch, it's not easy. Or even if it's a lateral move, right? Sometimes people just hesitate because they think, better the devil I know than the devil I don't, right?
Absolutely.
So even if you're not happy, you kind of suck it up. But like, for me, it came to a point where I thought, okay, an opportunity afforded itself. And I said, you know, why not be a bit brave? So I did. I'm not sure whether I'm going to regret it because I'm sitting here in the studio at 6 o'clock with your guys.
I think, in fact, for people who have the choice to think of something else, I'm not as trigger happy to actually recommend this as I was before in my younger days, right? I just say, okay, yeah, I won't do this anymore. But I wouldn't automatically recommend this to people.
Why not?
Because I think we have the ability to just take the job as it is, even if we are bored and it's as soul-sapping as it is, right? But we have the potential to actually condition ourselves to accept this. It's one of acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. And then find meaning in other areas of your lives.
But is
especially,
it possible?
Especially if you have commitments.
Yeah, okay. But is that possible? Because would that keep you happy or satisfied for that long? Or would it kind of eat into it in a way? Some people, you know, it's like soul-sapping almost.
It is. So you got to look at things from a different perspective. You got to look at the other things from a job, right? The people in job, the interactions of the job, rather than the job itself. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, easier said than done. I'm not saying that this should be done 100%.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be too ready to...
Too hasty.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But, you know, if at the end of the day you find that this is not really making you happy, then, you know, move on to something else. But what do you move on to, right? That's the main question.
Yeah. But even, I guess, in a job that you like, for example, I guess the risk always is if you continue to do the same set of tasks, the same job for more than 10 years, you are going to get bored, right? So how do you keep yourself motivated even if you don't want to move jobs? How do you find that kind of interest again in the same task that you've been doing?
I think then you have to keep on relooking at your job description. And it's not the same, but keep on changing the goalposts. So previously, let's say you like me, fund manager, maybe you decide you should do more management. You know, go out and solicit clients, change the job scope. Don't keep standing in the same spot because that will really wear you down.
All right. Well, do let us know what you think about this as well. What motivates you to do your job? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be talking about used cars. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was I Melt With You by Modern English. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now in Indonesia, sales of new cars are dropping off, but instead sales of used cars are picking up. There have been some reports that that Indonesia is actually seeing something like 300,000 sales of used cars per month up until that point. And there are a number of reasons cited for this, including the influx of relatively new cars into the used car market. So people sell off their cars, their new cars, after about 3 to 7 years, and they're still in relatively good condition. So it's not like buying a used car is buying a rickety old banger.
Or a lemon.
That's essentially like four wheels rust in an engine, right?
Yes.
And also compounded by the fact that Jakarta is introducing new traffic policies. So this is a situation that many people expect to continue in Jakarta. So seeing these kind of new car sales drop off. And I'm curious as to whether you guys would actually prefer, given the choice, right? Would you go for buying a new car or buying a used car? Say about three, four, 5 years old.
Yeah, I think used car purchase is certainly better than new car. But to me, no car is better because I'm a fan of not spending big amounts of money on anything, right? Capital spending. And the kind of environment that we operate in these days, the government is helping us with more public transportation as well as new kinds of business models are coming out, ride sharing, car sharing and so on, coming out to help us avoid making that big splurge into something that is so basic.
We had this discussion among ourselves a few days ago, right?
With another
of our colleagues as to what new car to
buy. That's right.
And I remember, Julian, you had this interesting theory whereby you take the money which you would otherwise buy a new car and put it into this transportation fund, right?
Correct. I mean, all these investing platforms have come out, for example, robo-advisors, right, that make it very convenient for you to turn yourself into a fund manager of sorts, right? So take that 50,000 or so that you're going to spend on the new car, put it into a fund that will be managed in a way to earn interest for you, and then withdraw from that fund every month to pay for your transportation needs. And that fund, whatever it is that you're going to spend plus maintenance on your car, is going to go a very long way.
Yeah, which I thought was an interesting idea. But what about the reality of the needing the car? You know, for some of us, that's not an option, right?
Yeah,
because public transport can be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, so my initial thought was, what about the time cost? Right, because if you're living and working in a place where it takes you, say, more than an hour to get to work via public transport, and it would take you about 20 minutes by car, you know, how do you weigh the pros and cons of that?
Yeah, I think you need to have about turn in the philosophy of car ownership and whether you need to own one or not. Because at the bottom of it, I think people who want to buy cars, they love cars, and that's nothing wrong with that. If you love cars and you love driving, by all means do so. But when you talk about time, you know, the amount of time that is freed not driving, you know, can be used for a lot of other things, like reading a book while riding to work. And also the kind of freedom that extra money gives you, you know, that's priceless as well, right? What you can do, the kind of extra things that you can do with money, have that nice dinner with your partner, you know, go for extra travel.
I don't know, I'm a bit of a petrol head. I like my cars. And I do like that, holding on to that steering wheel, playing with all the buttons and then, you know, just moving quickly on the road, you know, the driving fast.
Are you a little bit of a speed demon?
Not as much as you, Lin-Mark. I've no idea. Lin-Mark is scary on the road, okay, guys?
Have you been in a ride with her?
No, like, I'm just a small car in front that she's like, you know, zooming down the highway.
Tailgating you.
Yeah, you can see in your back mirror. It's not scaring the bejeebers out of me at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's Lin-Mark.
I'm not that bad.
I'm seeing a different side to you, ladies.
Yes. Well, for me, it is the control, right? Because I like I like being able to know exactly like where my car is, how much time I have, and
you're in control, right?
Yeah, because like if I need to leave at a certain time, I can just walk out into my car and go, right? As opposed to I have to call a grab, I have to wait for the bus, will they be on time? You know, will I be stuck stranded at the bus stop for 15 minutes? So I don't like that kind of uncertainty when it comes to particularly travel time, because I'm a little bit notoriously punctual, so I will, you know, I'm one of those people that if you tell me to come to a dinner party at 7 o'clock, I will be there at 6:59. So
good,
you know,
on you.
Yeah, I'm always the first
one at
parties.
She's the lady that came to the interview punctual. 2 hours early, right?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
Well, do let us know what you think. Would you prefer a new or a used car or no car at all? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up to the 6:30 news now, and to take you there, here is Bluebird by Cocteau Twins, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, that was Shakedown Street by Unknown Mortal Orchestra, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin-Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, there's been a new study done by a research firm IDC and Inter University that showed that 3 out of 5 students don't actually know what IR 4.0 actually is. About 1 in 2 lacked clarity on the meaning of it, and I guess this result is somewhat alarming because these are the people who will be directly working under IR 4.0. But it did actually kind of make me pause and take a breather as well, because we bandy around the term IR 4.0 so often, but how many of us actually know
what it actually means. I admit, fully admit, I confess that I had to Google it.
It's very futuristic one, like, you know, got flying cars and robots in your homes. But
very Terminator.
Exactly. But what does it mean for our lives, right? I think that's the more existential question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what this survey question is referring to, whether you know just the acronym IR4, what it stands for. And I mean, if 3 out of 5 students don't know that... I don't know. This sounds like a marketing thing to me, right? IR 4.2 sounds like a marketing thing for some tech company.
I don't know. The definition of it is just basically like how things are supposed to change in terms of how we live, how we work, yes, how we communicate.
Exactly.
Right? So it's a very big, big concept, this IR 4.0. But like you guys, I also had to Google it because I was like, what does it really, really mean?
Yeah, when you
mean?
Pin it down, yeah, right? Like can you, if you, but you it means know, put everything. It in a sentence, how do you, what do you say?
It means everything, right? Mm-hmm. Internet, AI, big data, driverless cars, anything new, anything
machine
in the
learning,
future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very big term, meaning the whole future, if you ask me.
So this is under a framework, according to the article by the Malay Mail, created by IDC, known as the future of work. So this is all about this work-related stuff. Because mm-hmm. when you ask students and young people, they live it, right? They live whatever IR 3, 4, or 5, or whatever it is. They are adopters.
They're in it.
They practice
natives.
It. They,
yes.
they don't need a name for it.
Yes, you're right.
It's already in their lives, right? But when you hit them with something unexpected, like asking, hey, do you know there is a name for what you do? Mm-hmm. Then there would be a blank stare, I think.
Yeah, I don't know why you need to label it, actually, because you're right. They're in it. They live it every moment, right? When I see my nieces, right, technology to them is seamless. It pervades every part of their life, right? It's not something strange. It's almost as if they didn't have to learn it.
Yeah, no, they learn by observation, a lot of children, right? So now when you see toddlers knowing instinctively how to access a smartphone by swiping to unlock, that was quite startling initially, but you see it more and more these days. But the thing for me that came out of this study was kind of a wider conversation also on just the readiness of students to go into this new technological world, because yes, we say that they're living it and they are the forefront of these new technologies, but we have seen complaints. You know, youth unemployment is very high here in Malaysia. It is higher than the average throughout ASEAN. We hear complaints from students not being able to find jobs. You know, graduates coming out. Companies not being able to find people to fill their jobs. This kind of skill mismatch. So maybe it isn't just that they don't know what it means. Maybe it is also the fact that they are not being taught it, in the sense that of how it applies to them in the working world. Is this symptomatic of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you are sort of hitting the nail there, because this is a strategic decision that I guess people are foisting upon students to ask the question of whether you are prepared for the working world in an IR 4.0 environment. And to that, the answer is probably no, because the structure of our education system is not geared towards that, right? We're still learning accounting, law.
There's nothing wrong with law.
Okay, you're a lawyer. I think you're a lawyer. But not many of us are, for example, you know, the model that's adopted by this company called Udacity, right? They train people to go directly into tech industries.
So bypassing tertiary education,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, and a lot of them actually get a job at the end of it, right? So our educational system is actually not prepared for that. Perhaps that's the right question to ask.
Indeed so. And do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Are we ready for IR 4.0? Do let us know. We are coming up on a few messages for you, and then we'll be taking a look at social media as well as what's being said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. That was Talk of the Town by The Pretenders, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, thank you for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps about the subjects we've been discussing. So we've talked about IR 4.0 and our readiness, or even really our knowledge of what it means. We've talked about opting for used cars instead of new ones, and as well as how you keep yourself motivated to do your job. And we have a tweet from Kapilan Boss. That's an interesting name. And because we asked what keeps you motivated, and he said it is one, definitely the moolah, the money, and two, something new every day since my line of work is ever evolving.
Yeah, that's what people look forward to, right? The moolah at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the check that comes into your bank account, that always creates a smile on your face, right? Mm-hmm. Rubbish Man also chimed in. He said the smile of the clients is what, at the end of the day, is what motivates him.
Oh, that's very that's very wholesome.
And I don't know, sometimes the client can be the pain, but for him, clearly the client is the source of joy and the ability to take care of the environment. So I'm not sure what kind of job he does.
Yeah, I fear that there is something very elitist about this discussion, right? In the sense that people who can afford to change jobs are from slightly more affluent background. But that's there's a whole bunch of people who have no choice.
Yes.
Right? They wake up, they got to work, and they got to earn that money to put, you know, bread on the table.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the drudgery of life in some way, right? It's not an easy choice whenever you change careers.
So mm-hmm. So then the other alternative is, if you hate your job, you got to learn how to be zen about it, right? And to think of...
Yeah, if you don't have that option of changing jobs, how do you keep yourself motivated? And it was like Shaning said, I guess you just have to keep moving the goalposts, maybe changing your job description every once in a while, just to keep giving yourself those new challenges in order to keep you engaged. But thank you very much for your messages, but we're also going to be taking a look at the headlines in the newspapers this morning, because the Star, right at the very top, has in a nice little blue box, nationwide gag order. This is specifically in regards to Zakir Naik, because who has apparently been barred by the police from speaking at gatherings nationwide. But his lawyer claims there's no ban, but he'll advise his clients to keep a low profile nonetheless.
What's the point of that? I mean, is that better than kicking him out of the country?
I think it's a temporary measure, just okay. Because he's become such a contentious topic over the past couple of days. So much so, actually, that the Star's second and third pages are entirely to do with Zakir Naik and whether or not, and so, you know, the cops saying no events involving him, ex-MPs calling for him to be deported and so on. But notably, the Star's front page picture is actually of a boy, and it's titled A Mother's Worst Nightmare. It's about a 13-year-old boy who's dropped out of school and recently also tested positive for drug abuse. So that's an interesting change of tone there.
Well, Zakir Naik is also in the Straits Times, but he's on page 4 and 5, and they do highlight that he actually apologizes to non-Muslims for causing hurt to them over his recent remarks. But what really caught my eye in the Straits Times is embedded in page 9, and that is that there are deer running around Parliament. I never knew that, you know. To me, it's so fascinating. There is a Taman Rusa in Parliament.
Yes, there is. It's a... I mean...
I was like, huh, really? Animals in Parliament? How cute is that?
It's near the visitor car park.
Yeah, yeah, and apparently this was started in 1983 by our own Prime Minister Tun Mahathir when he received the first herd from Indonesia.
Fascinating. I think it's a good thing. You don't need to, you have a natural way to mow the grass, you know, grazing by the deer. I think it's a good idea. Malaysia Reserve is talking about property again, saying that our property index, citing a property guru, Malaysia's price index, has moved up after a period of being in the doldrums, inched up slightly. So some hope there for property investors or speculators, depending on which side you're on. And also, what caught my eye in the Malaysian Reserve is on page 5, a Zakat Tech blockchain to track Zakat collection. So interesting, blockchain.
Zakat Tech blockchain.
Yeah, Zakat Tech is the name of the company.
Okay.
Zakat Tech blockchain is the name of the company, and they want to use blockchain to track Zakat collection.
So, and there we have IR
4.0. Exactly.
And another interesting article in The Star on page 5 is that Utusan Malaysia will be carrying on operating, but the cover price of the papers will be up by 50 cent. And that is all we have for you from the newspapers this morning. Thank you again for your messages on social media as well as on WhatsApp. Here is Combat Baby by Metric, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.